So today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf tet. And we're holding on daf chet, amud beit. So where we had gotten up to in the Mishnah was the halacha of the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about the shtei shurot b'martif. And let's just read the quote from the Mishnah. So b'meh amru shtei shurot b'martev. So Beit Shammai says the shtei shurot or the chitzanot, et cetera, et cetera. So the question is, what do you mean? What a crazy statement. So where did they say the shtei shurot b'martev? And who's been talking about a martev that all of a sudden we'd have to ask? And whoever mentioned the martev? Says the Gemara, because remember, we just finished being medayik from kol makom, right? So he comes at kol makom she'ein machlis b'chometz ein tzarech b'dika, and we said that that kol makom comes to include otzrot yain v'otzrot shemen is considered to be a makom she'ein tzarech b'dika because ein machlis b'chometz. So therefore, now we are talking about a martev because those are otzrot yain otzrot shemen, and we know that there does exist a psak halacha from long ago about the martev. So how do we explain that? Therefore, we're coming to explain it. That's talking about a mistapek. As we read yesterday, there's the types of pantries that you're going to be going to in the middle of the meal. Okay, so here's where we get into the question of how to understand the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So according to Beit Shammai, we have shtei shurot that are pnei kol amartev. So in other words, they go across the entire face of the martev. So what exactly does that mean? So I'm reviewing that when you're talking about the shtei shurot of Beit Shammai, you're talking about min ha'aretz va'ad shmei korah. So the shtei shurot mean, you take, let's say you have 10 by 10, you take the fronting 100 and the one behind it 100. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Fronting, what he says, shtei shurot, which are the elyonot, which are the chitzonot. According to Rabbi Yochanan, means the chitzonot in both directions. So what you have is fronting the door and fronting the ceiling. So you have basically a Greek gamma. So you have the front row, 100, and the back row, which adds an additional 90, because it's the same, they're sharing the same front. So that would be the meaning. So it's shura achat kamin gamma. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda, and Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a braita that says like Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai rim shtei shurot al pnei kol hamartev. And what are we talking about? We're talking about shtei shurot shamru, mina aretz va'ad shmei korah, and so that it's the two facing 10 by 10, 100 front and another 100 behind it. Whereas Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, shtei shurot apnei kol hamartev means chitzona, the one that faces the door, the elyona, that faces the ceiling, akora. But anything beyond that, the row behind it and the row beneath it, ein tzarech bedika. Now, Beit Hillel says, shtei shurot achitzonot shehina elyonot. Now, that also has the same two interpretations, because the two upper ones could mean, as Rav says, Eliyona v'shelamatei mena, the one that's on the top 10 and the bottom, so that means 20 basically facing the door. Whereas Shmuel says, Eliyona v'shelifnimei mena. It's the same question. It's the front one and the top one behind it. And each one is basically being medayik, another word in what it was Rabbi Hillel said. Why does Rav understand that it means the outside too? Because he's medayik from the fact that Beit Hillel said specifically Elyonot. So he says, if he said the upper, so then, and said the Elyonot, and he said also Achitzonot, so then the upper one can't mean the two upper ones, because then it wouldn't be Chitzonot. The Chitzonot means that there are two outer ones. So how do you explain that? Must be that he's referring to the two rows facing the outside. I understand, but he did also say Elyonot, right? And if you're saying it's the top two, so then one is the Elyon, but one is beneath it. That just means as opposed to Beit Shammai, who was saying the entire outside surface of 10 by 10, we're talking about the two uppermost rows, and as opposed to the rows that are beneath it. That's all. Don't think like Beit Shammai, that means the entire, all the columns along all the rows. That's all that he's saying. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, El Yonash v'shalifni mimena, it means the two upper ones, then that would be, because he's being medayik, the word Elyonot. So he feels that Elyonot is the main point. As far as why does it say Chitzonah? Chitzonah simply means Le'ute Gaviata de Gaviata. In other words, don't think that we're talking about all of the upper rows. We're only talking about the fronting two rows on the upper rows. Rav Chiya Tani Gavasid Rav, V'kulu Tanoi Tano Gavasid Shmuel. And in fact, Hilchasa Gavasid Shmuel. Now these words, Hilchasa Gavasid Shmuel, is very strange. First of all, we usually paskin, as you remember, we paskin like Rav when it comes to Isser, and this is Isser. Remember that Shmuel is called Amelach El Asar, the king of none Isser. But when it comes to Isser, he ain't the king. So we go according to Rav. But anyway, I mean, what's strange is that many of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, simply seems to ignore this Gemara, and therefore it's probable that this is a girsa that not everybody had, that Hilchasa Kavasa Dishmuel, because Halach Lamaisa, we paskin actually like Rav, that it does not mean the one on top and the one directly behind. It means the two top ones. Okay, we are ready for Sir Richard this morning, who is the proud grandfather of the little girl by the beautiful name of... Uh-oh, we got a... Anyway, wait a minute. Tell us the name.
Eli Orr.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Shining light. Very nice. Very nice for Hanukkah. So you've got both Halal and Orr there. Very good. Okay, go for it. Thank you. So now the question is, what do we, you know, we have to think about maybe a more fundamental question. What do we mean by a mokom she'im machnisa bo chometz? I mean, what if you've got mice in your house? If you've got mice in your house, there ain't no such animal as a mokom she'im machnisa bo chometz, because they seem to definitely get around. So the difference between a hole that's close to the floor is considered to be a mokom she'im machnisa bo chometz. Try telling that to the mice. That's the most perfect place to put chometz as far as they're concerned. So the question, therefore, has to be addressed. If you're going to worry about mice, then the whole thing does not seem to add up. I mean, unless, as Tosfos says, unless we want to say, look, we know we're talking about all of the cases that we spoke until now, Mokom She'im Machnisa Bo Chometz, is where we know for a fact that we've got a lot of shmira against mice, you know. So there wouldn't be anything that could have gotten in there. So then the question is, as the Mishnah raises now, so why don't we need to worry about a question of whether a small animal, maybe even rats, so did a rat run from one house to another house? So maybe the next door neighbor finishes the batika an hour after you. So then during that time, any animal that went from his house into your house would have dragged in chometz. We're not worried about that. Ein choshishin shema girachul da mibayit labayit mimakom lamakom. The imkain michatzer lachatzer miir leir. Ein ledavar sof. So the question is how to understand this. The Mishnah is saying we don't have to worry that maybe a rat dragged something from another house in the chotzer. Because if you worry about that, you might as well give up on doing batika completely. Where does that end? I mean, if someone in the next town would have done the bedika later, then even if you've established that everyone in your neighborhood, you've got a neighborhood clock and everyone's on the WhatsApp group and they say, okay, boys, let's go. And everybody starts going together and then a buzzer rings, it's over. Okay, but what are you going to do about anywhere from anywhere? I mean, what would prevent an animal from dragging in some chametz from anywhere else? So, if that's an impossibility, and there's a machlokas how to learn this. Well, the poshita meaning is, the imkein ein ledavar sof, we cannot make such a gezeira, because it's impossible to implement. The other approach is that not that we cannot, but rather we did not. In other words, it's clear that that's not included in one of the dinim of the halakhas of bedikas chometz. But this does not mean that we're not choshesh in your house. It's talking about where there are limits. So if the din is in the house that we would have to be choshesh, then that would mean that you would have to, as we say later on, you have to make sure that you put your chometz in a place where that's not going to be accessible to any mice that are in the house and so on. Okay, so then that is clear, says the Gemara, the time of the lochazina, the shaka. When we say ein choshishin, it means we don't worry about its having happened if we have no reason to assume that it happened. But, okay, so that means that's sort of a general halacha, that we do not machzik iser. If we don't have a reason to say something happened, then we're not going to say that it happened. But by the way, the question of whether you do have mice in your house, I mean, according to the Magen Avraham, if l'maisa there are mice in the house, or for that matter, at some point during the year you saw a mouse run into the house. Now, that happens very often. You may get rid of your mice. But if there was a time at which there was a mouse that ran into your house, so then how could there be a mokum she'im machnisim bo chometz? So there, the question is, how close to Pesach was it? Because it could be that if it's before Shloshim Yom, in that case, we would say, look, by that point that Pesach comes around, it was probably all eaten up. Or by then, it probably just spoiled and it's considered to be pat me'upash. And then it would be so spoiled, as we'll see later on, it wouldn't be considered to be chometz, it would be botam yelav. So, okay, but this can be a serious concern. It's something to take into consideration when we talk about makom shemechnisu bo chometz. But in any event, the Mishnah seems quite clear. Ein choshishin. We do not figure out on ourselves that we ought to be worried about it. But what if we actually did see a rat taking something? So, time in the lo chazin and the shakal. So it's because we didn't see any rat running in there or mouse running in there. Chazina de shakal. But had we seen it, we would have need to do a bedika again because we now saw a mouse running in. Why would we have to worry about that? I mean, even if a mouse ragged in something, wouldn't he eat it up? So nema al chalte, why don't we just assume that if he's dragging it in, he's also eating it? Because we do know that there is exactly a halacha like that. You may remember that we're learning Olos. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It was supposedly, we're going to get back to it as soon as we get through this heavy-duty stuff. So in Olos, it says that midoroto of deko chavim tmeim, that the halacha is that we made a gezerah that any place that goyim are living, the entire house is considered to be tamei betumas meis. And it's tamei betumas oya. Why is that? Because basically, all of them are involved with girlfriends or with whores that get pregnant, and then they all get abortions, and then they have to get rid of the fetus, and so they'll throw the fetus, they'll dig something under the floor or whatever, and then because of that, since it won't be poteach tefach, then we'd have to be choshesh that it will be metami. Now there is a machlokas whether goyim are metami ba'ohel, remember. But you'll also recall from Ohalot that if you have tuma ritzutza, then that's considered to be the equivalent of maga, not ohel. So directly radiated tuma would be maga. Not to mention the fact that it's a big machlokas. I mean, we paskin that way. The Rambam at least paskins that way, which is like Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Namely, that there's no din of adam ki amut ba'ohel on akum because it says adam atem. But according to the Chachamim, there actually is tumas oil even from Akum. So what do we do? We'd have to assume that somewhere in there you're going to have buried fetuses. And kama yishebe mador v'ya mador tzorek b'dika, how much time would we need to worry about the fact that there's going to be this kind of burial? Well, 40 days, because it takes 40 days to have a large enough fetus that it's considered to be Adam that would be metame be'oil. And this is true, even though he doesn't have a wife, because he's got a girlfriend. V'chol makom shechulda v'chazir yecholim lahaloch, ein tzarech b'dika. Now, here's the important point. If it's a place where you've got rats or you've got pigs that are going to walk around since they eat any scraps of meat that they can find. So then we don't have to worry about it because they will eat it up. So now if that's the case, that means that we're being samech on the eating characteristics of the rat. So why aren't we samech on that in the case of chometz that was being dragged into the house? Amar Rabbi Zera, I mean, there's a big difference, man. Fetuses are yummy, you know. I mean, bread, like so you eat a little bit of bread, you leave some bread over. I mean, there's a difference between basar, and Tosa says specifically nice soft meat, you know, of a fetus, that is something that's going to be finished. Mashen kein lechem. I mean, but basar lo mishayra, the rat's not going to leave anything over. But lechem mishayra. However, when it comes to bread, then we cannot be semich on this. Rova said, can you explain to me what your question is? I understand what you're talking about. You're making an insane kind of comparison. We're talking about a case where we saw a rat run into a house, right? And you're talking about a case where maybe. I mean, it's a tremendous difference. You've made up a situation. Oh, obviously, this priest has got himself 20 girlfriends and he's been burying all of the miscarriages. I mean, come on, you know. Yes, it's a nice way to think about the church. But I mean, in reality, do we know that there's anything there? No. The case over here, what you're talking about, is where we actually saw this rat running into the house with a piece of chometz. How are you bringing me a raya that we're ready to rely on the fact that, well, if there were something there, then it would have been eaten? To say that, well, the same thing should be true. If we know something is there, that it was definitely eaten. I mean, there's no comparison. So in the case over there where we're talking about Medoro Takum, we're saying Emor Havi, Emor Lo Havi. It might have happened. It might not have happened. I don't know. And therefore, we're saying in the event that it did happen and there was a buried fetus there. So, okay, so it could be that the rat or the piggy ate it up. Over here, we see that it actually came and took the chometz that was in the house, piled up for tomorrow, brought in a piece of chometz. How do we know it was eaten? It's a suffik and a vadai. Ve'ein suffik motzimi de vadai. I mean, if you know for a fact that there was chometz brought into the house, so then you can't rely on the possibility that it was eaten. Mashen ken, in the case over there, was a suffik and a suffik. So, okay. Wait, is that really true? Ain't suffik motzimi de vadai. Now, we've gone through this kind of limud a number of times already, but let's do it again. So you're telling me that suffik is not motzimi de vadai. How do you explain the fact that the Braisa says that if a chaver died, remember, a chaver is somebody who is neman on maestros, and he left this storeroom in his house that's full of tvua, and I have no idea whether he took off maestro or not, even if it had just been brought in that morning, we know that they're becheskat metukanim. So we have a right to assume, the same way we have a right to assume, I mean, obviously, lahavdil elef havdolah, it's the same right we have a right to assume that the rat ate up the fetus, we have a right to assume that the chover was metaken his peirot, even though it's a suffik. So here it's vadai teva. We know that we see it's definitely in the storage room, that means it was, and it was already nigmar malachto, because of meguraz, nigmar malachto means it's a place where you have grain, not where you have raw, unprocessed wheat. And it's definitely tevel, and it's a suffik musar, suffik lo musar. And we're saying, ka'ati safek umotzimi devadai. So how do you explain that? Answers the Gemara teretz that we've said before, the status of a chover vis-a-vis meiser is considered to be a vadai, not to be a suffik, because we know how some vadai masrik in the Rebbe Chanina Chuzah, that Rebbe Chanina Chuzah says, chazaka al chaver. We have a chazaka on someone who is a chover for the dinim of maestres. She'ein motzi mitachat yado davar she'eino betukan. There's no way that he would have died without taking off his maestr. And therefore, we can rely 100% that he definitely maestred it. Actually, the Chazon Ish used to when anything was brought into the house, he refused to let it be put even into a cabinet or anything until it was meisered because of this. He considered himself to be neman on a meisers. So now that is one way of understanding it. You can't ask a kasha ain't suffering much to be day vadai because it is vadai uvadai. And you can say another teretz, by sema, maybe it's suffik for suffik. Because when you're assuming that it was vadai tevel, how do you know? that it's Vadaiteva. Dilma mi kora emo dolotvili, it may well be that it's not Vadaiteva, because we're going like Rabbi Oshaya. The Omer Rabbi Oshaya, Ma'arim Adam al Tvuato, Machniso B'mot Shela. Because if a person wants to give Tvua to animals, animal feed, you know, the BBs have started being the ones watching Sesame Street in the morning. And because of that, I mean, you know, it was bad enough when we had that other group, I won't mention their names. You didn't have to take up for them just because it's South Africa, you know. But, I mean, if you want to share the screen with the rest of us, please, go right ahead. We all want to smile. Okay, so suppose you want to feed your animal tfua. So what can you do? So what you can do is, if you bring the tfua into your house before the Gemara Malacha, so then, now this is a big machlok, this is how Rashi understands it. If you bring it in before the Gemara Malacha, then it will never be roe pnei habayit. That's the thing. And if it's never roe pnei habayit, once it's brought into the house, you can never be mechayev it in the chiyev of meiser again, even after you take off the motz. So suppose you winnow it in the house. It's not going to become chayev. And therefore, since it is possible, even though we find it in a migura, which means that there is no motz, the bran has been removed, it's perfectly good tfua, that nonetheless, it would never be chayev because it's always considered to be an achilas aroi if you give it to an animal. It doesn't mean you're allowed to eat it, because the chachomim were gozer even on achilas aroi, once you take off the mamot shalar, only to allow achilas aroi, but achilas adam, normal achilas aser. But over here, kadesh tehebem to ochelet, it will be potter ben amaiser. So as we do not know whether this chaver maybe did that, so then we need to assume that it's possibly tevel. If it's possibly tevel, then the chazaka that the chaver possibly meisered it would be enough to handle that problem. So that's not a riot for two possibilities. Either it's vadai vadai or it's suffik or suffik. Now, another attack on the assumption that ain't suffik, motzimi de vadai, is from this brisa, Vatanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'aseh b'shivchato shal meitzik echad berimon, shi'itila nefel labor. So now over here, we had that this is talking about a Jew who was really a vicious kind of guy, and he was a metzik. He lived in the town of Rimon, and he threw a nefel, possibly from his shivcha. This is something of a machlokas, or he had his shivcha throw it, because Lamaisa, most of the Rishonim hold that a shivcha is Temeya Betumas Leda, because she has a din of a Jew. So because of that, there would be a question of Tumas Leda. And they threw this miscarriage or this abortion into a bor. Uba Kohen Veitzitzbo. So this Kohen, who as Tosis points out, is a total idiot, because, I mean, the Kohen is going to be over on an Issa D'Oraisa if he's going to be Metame himself by looking over a bor, which is Tome Betumas Meis. And even maybe if he wasn't looking over it, because even if it was dragged into a hole on the side of the bor, it should still be metame if it's not a poteach tefach. So therefore, this guy's an idiot, because he's definitely going to expose himself to an issur d'oraisa. So, okay, fine. So don't take that part seriously. And he leans over the bor, and he wants to see whether this stillborn is a male or a female, in order to know what the number of days of Tumah V'Tayra would be. And the Maisik came to Chachamim, and they said the Kohen is Tahor. How could he be Tahor if he stuck his head over a bor with Tumas Meis? Because they said, look, there's rats and weasels there. The Bartolus over here is not the normal Bartolus, which is a large predator. As Rashi brings it over here, it seems to be some type of weasel type thing. And these things, they drag pieces of meat immediately into their den. If you go take a look on YouTube, look at weasels, and you see an absolutely amazing thing is that they are insatiable killers. In other words, they will fill up their den with every piece of meat that they could get. And they are incredibly fast, incredibly vicious. So apparently they're programmed to fill places up with dead bodies so that they have enough to eat under all circumstances. Well, that's something of a question over here. So why would we assume that it was eaten if they're going to keep collecting? But over here where we're talking about this boar, then whatever's in the boar, they would drag it away. So we're saying if they drag it away, and then if the norm is that there is a poteach tefach inside of the den and not in the opening of the den, which is a bit complex, as Tosis points out, this is crazy. If it's in the opening of the den, so then the tumah would have gone out through the opening and filled up the boar. So then why wouldn't the Kohen actually be tamei from putting his head over the top of the boar? So this is a complex kind of issue, is what exactly does other massive complexities, which is, are we talking about Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid? The dinim of Suffolk Tumor, Rishus HaRabim, and Suffolk Tumor, Rishus HaYochid, is Halacha L'Mashem Sinai, totally different. And the Gemara seems to be not including any of these issues. Again, if we were learning this sugya specifically in terms of the dinim of Tumas Meis, we'd have a lot to talk about. But in any event, we know in this case that Dafka, the Shivcha, definitely threw a fetus into this boar. We cannot be sure that Suffolk Ruah, Suffolk Logo Ruah Haishaita. We don't know if by the time that the Kohen came and stuck his head in there that it was gone, and yet they paskin that Ka'apti Suffolk Motsimi Devadai. The Suffolk that maybe it was dragged away by that time was sufficient to be able to make it Tohar. How do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, no. Lotema Shi'itila Nefel Labor. What we're talking about over here is hitila kemin nefel babor, so that we don't know whether it actually was a nefel or whether maybe it was just some type of aborted, it could be a sack or whatever, that was not something that would be mitame. And therefore, it's a suffix for suffix. I understand, since how can you say that? It says male or female. If it's a sack, it's not male or female. So what are you referring to? Aleidain zacharim nekevahu katani. No, look, the Brisa is just basically shorthand, okay? The Brisa is saying, A, first of all, he wanted to know, are we talking about an Eiffel? So, Leida im Ruach Ipila im Nefel Ipila. And secondly, im Timtzalom an Nefel Ipila. If it turns out that it was something that was human, then I want to know whether it was male or female to be able to tell her how long she's going to be taught. That's one possibility, in which case, it's a suffix for suffix. Or I could tell you that the status of a rat or a weasel is vadai, because you, even if it was a vadai stillborn, it's impossible that they weren't gorer. They were definitely gorer. Okay, so that means that now we have a little bit of a problem, because we said that when we saw the chulda take something into the house, we have to worry and do another bedinka, because we cannot assume that it ate it up. So how are we so sure over here that it definitely took away this piece of meat? So obviously, Rava doesn't hold that we're going to make this difference between meat and bread, like we said before, because he has to add this point. Even though it may be true that when they eat, they will leave over something of what they eat, but they definitely drag it away, and we know they drag it away instantaneously. So since he didn't see it, so then because of that, we have no problem of its being mitame. Okay. Ask the Gemara back to the Mishnah. You're saying that we don't have to worry about the chulda coming into a house, but the seifa of the Mishnah a little bit later, tomorrow, it says when you are going to put away chometz, you better make sure that you put it in a safe place. So, yanechena bitzina, shalo yetzarech bedika acharav, because if you don't leave it in a safe place, you're going to need to check your house all over again. And why will I need to check my house all over again? I'm confused. I thought you said, ein choshishin shema giraruhu. So now you're telling me, yes, choshishin shema giraruhu, if I didn't have a lock on the box or whatever? Rabbi, no. It doesn't matter. There's no problem over here. When did you do the bedika? Now, here is the Rashi that everybody is bringing, that was the Bach, that Rashi holds lechatchila, you're allowed to go ahead and do the bedika on the 13th if you want, or before, maybe even within Shloshim Yom. Because as Rashi takes the Gemara Kepshuto, it depends when you did the bedika. So where we said in the Mishnah that's coming up, that you got to leave it in a place where it's not going to be scattered, that's talking about where you did the bedika on the normal time, on the 14th. But we're talking about where you did the bedika on the 13th. So therefore, there's a big difference. Any normal rat, on the 13th, there's bread all over the place, right? So why should this rat worry about hiding the chametz? If I don't have any chametz today, I'll find plenty of chametz tomorrow. That's what the rat is thinking. But if the rat looks at the calendar, and you remember the cat was reading a map. I mean, so if a cat can read a map, then certainly a rat can read a calendar. And the rat knows that it's the 14th. Then the rat's thinking to itself, oh, heck, it's the 14th of Nisan again? Nobody makes bread. I'm going to starve. So therefore, then it's going to hide it, and then you're going to have to check your whole house again. Says Rava, come on, you got to be kidding. Chulda is a Nevia? Adorable. Like, the one Nevia that he's got to bring up is Chulda. All right, so I mean, what are you telling me? This is a very intelligent rat. I mean, it knows that it's the 14th. And it's got it all planned out. Oh my gosh, it's the 14th. I better make sure that I hide the chametz because I know these guys, they never break chametz on the 14th. I mean, come on. It's going to pick up the fact that there's like a lessening of activity with chametz and it's going to start. I don't believe it. So the yada da'idna or base or what? So now it read the calendar and it knows today's the 14th and nobody's going to be baking until tonight and I'm going to be hungry. And that's ridiculous. Because that's going to leave chametz over, and that's the thing. I don't think so. Elama Rava, I'll tell you, the point is like this. Whenever, whatever chametz there is, as the Mishnah says, make sure that you put it in a bokum that is secure. Why? Not because I will have to assume. That's not the point. I won't have to assume anything. But what happens if, in fact, a mouse runs in and grabs some of the chametz? That's the point. So Shema Titol Chulda Bifaneinu, and then you're going to have to do a bedika on everything all over again. That's the point. We're not saying that if you didn't put it in a secure place, then ipso facto, you're going to have to go ahead and check your whole house. No. That's certainly going to be a possibility. Tani Kavasi Rovin, and in fact, the Brisa says exactly that. So normally people put aside a little bit of chametz for the morning so they can have their last breakfast. Yes, as opposed to a last supper, they want to have a last breakfast. So they put it away for the morning. And if they do that, whatever it is that you leave over has to be in a secure box or room. Because we're worried that a rat runs in, grabs a piece, and runs out. And then you're going to have to do a bedika again. And it's nothing to do with what day, the 13th or the 14th. It's not that we are chayshish. We're chayshish that will know that that was the case. Rav Mori Omar, it's very simple, you know. We don't have to worry about seeing the mouse. But what we do have to worry about is waking up the next morning and remembering that you had set aside 10 pitot, and all of a sudden there's only 9 pitot. What happened to the missing pita? So, I mean, it doesn't take Agatha Christie to figure out what happened to the missing pita. And therefore, you're now going to have to check your whole house. That's what it's talking about. That's why those little games that we play with putting aside those 10 pieces, you know, boy, that can get you into trouble. Okay, now, what we're going to do now is something very interesting. We're going to be taking a list of halachas that are general rules about how to deal with certain problems and see how they stack up against dealing with chametz. So we're going to take the dinim that have to do with Teisha Chanuyos, where we're wondering about where we go Basarov, where we go Basakavua, and where it's considered to be called the Parish, Mirubaka Parish. And we're going to contrast that with the Dinim in Chametz, and then we're going to take a look at cases where you have Truma that falls into Chulin type of cases and see how that stacks up with Chametz and Matzah, and so on. So this is like a list of different halachas. So A, let's take our first case. Suppose you got 9 piles of matzah. You know, a Gavi is not looking to the right and the left sufficiently for us to fully enjoy his tiyul this morning. And if he's going to be going up over, I'm assuming that he is around the Canaan Spa. Am I right? Am I catching it, even though you're not looking directly to the right or the left? If you'll turn to the left, I'll get a better idea of where you are. Are you around Canaan? I don't hear you.
I went the opposite direction.
Ah, you went the opposite direction, because I thought I saw you heading towards Canaan. Well, it's time to head towards Canaan, because those are some of the most stunning views. So tomorrow, maybe.
Hopefully.
Okay, Mirtasha. Thank you. So then when you get to a sign, you know, focus on the sign for a moment so we can know exactly where you are if you're not going to be giving us a 360 view. All right, so let's take the first case. We start with 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. Comes along Mr. Rat, and or Mr. Mouse in this case, and takes a piece from one of the piles. We don't know which pile he took it. Lo yadina imatzah shakar chametz shakar. So then that is the equivalent of the case of Tesha Chanuyot, which we'll see in a moment what that case is, the famous case. How about if a piece fell out of one of the piles, and then Mr. Mouse comes and grabs the piece, that's considered to be the equivalent of Parash, called a Parash, Merubaka Parash. So let's think about the cases. That's the Seifa. Here's the Reisha, Tanya. Tesha Chanuyot, you come into town, you've got these 9 stores, they're all kosher stores. You didn't realize as a tourist that there was a non-kosher store. There's one store in town that sells nevela. And you bought from one of the stores. You cannot remember which store you bought from. Then the din is that even though you've got 90% kosher meat, it doesn't matter. The suffix is usser. Why? Because kol kavua kemechza al mechzadam. And since over here, the suffix began at the store, therefore we're not concerned with what the meat is, we're concerned with what the store was, and not knowing what the store was is kavua. And on the other hand, benimtsa, let's say you were walking through a town and you found a piece of meat on the ground. So then you're allowed to eat the piece of meat because you know that 90% of meat in town is going to be from kosher sources. And since over here, the suffix begins at the moment that it's nimtsa, so then called the porish, anything that has been broken away from of a situation like this, is miruba kaporish, could be assumed that it came out of the rove. Now the same thing is true over here with the mouse. We've got a bit of a problem because the din is that the Gemara distinguishes between the time that the suffix was neilad, and in the case over there, if a goy would have bought it, and only when he comes into contact with us are we worried if it's kosher or not, it's considered to be called the parish mirubaka parish, because the goy wasn't concerned whether it was kosher or not. The concern begins now, and the buck stops here. But at the point that it stops, it's parish. So, I mean, again, if chulda is not an aviyah, so does Chulda really care whether it's considered to be chametz or matzah? No. So now when I find it in the Chulda, that's when I begin to worry. And at that point, it should be nimtza, as Tosis points out. Could it be porish? So Tosis says, look, the case has to be that we actually saw the mouse run up and grab from the tzivurim, but we don't know which tzivur it was. So in other words, there was nothing on the ground. Mouse runs through, comes out on the other side carrying something. So that means we had the suffix at that moment of which tzavur it was taken from. Now, suppose we've got, let's take another case which will be similar to another given halakha. Suppose you've got 2 piles, 1 pile is of matzah, 1 pile is of chametz, and you've got 2 houses in front of these 2 piles. One house was Baruch already. One house was not Baruch already. Now, all of a sudden, come along two mice. Okay, they say to each other, go, baby, go. One of them takes matzah, one of them takes chametz, and they start to run. Now, we don't know which one ran into which house. It could be said, you go right, I go left. No, you go left, I go right, and so on. And in the end, they run into the house, but we lost track of what happened. It's like the old, you know, when you're playing games with the kids, they have no idea where you hit the rock. Okay, so what do we do there? That's the case of shtei kupot, because we have a halacha about shtei kupot that goes like this. You've got two boxes. One of them is filled with chulin. One of them is filled with truma. In front of them, you've got these two baskets that are filled with tvua. One of them is chulin. One of them is truma. And now they were dumped into the boxes. We don't know which one was dumped into which box. So over there, there's no problem. Because what we say is, everything is mutter. She'ani omer, chulin l'to chulin naflu. And therefore, you don't have to be afraid that maybe if you're not a kohen, you're going to be eating truma. And the truma fell into the truma. We're talking over here about truma derabbanan. And truma derabbanan, this is one of the kulos that Chazal gives, that you have a right to make this kind of assumption. So the same thing would be true over here. So wait a minute, what are you talking about? How is it the same thing? When do we say this idea? I can assume. How can you assume? The only way you can assume is where we're talking about truma de Rabbanan. So then, okay, fine, the Rabbanan want to be mekel, but are we talking about chometz d'oraisa over here? So we're talking about chometz, which is d'oraisa. How can we rely on shani omer? Well, wait a second over here. We're not talking about chometz d'oraisa. We're talking about the need to be bedek the chometz. Is bedikas chometz a d'oraisa? No, because as far as bedikas chometz is concerned, couldn't you have done bittel? So midiraisa bebittel ba'almasage. You would certainly be able to just do a bittel, midiraisa, and therefore what we want to know is whether I must do a bedika, that is a d'rabbanan. So it's a perfectly good comparison.